How we doing? So, you know, we spent going through Holy Week, and we would always encourage people to spend quiet time with God. So I did something holy and set apart this week in my times alone with Him. I was thinking about special effects, visual effects in movies. And there's a reason for that. I'll get to that in a moment, but what I like to do on Easter is I encourage you to sit back, relax, follow the scriptures on the screen today. Let your hands rest. Let your minds rest. Fix your hearts on the screen, on the messages that will be in the text, and let God speak to your heart. So as I thought about special effects, I thought, man, we have come a long way since, like, the first Star Wars movie, right? I mean, I confess, I went and saw the first Star Wars movie 8 times. And the closer I got to the screen, the more awesome it was, because I saw things I never saw before in my entire life. But now I'm thinking, you could watch an Avengers movie or a Fantastic Four movie or Batman versus Superman movie. The effects are off the charts. I mean, compared to when you go back to that day and time. So I'm thinking, wow, you know? And yet, all these visuals, all these special effects are not founded in reality. I mean, it could, but I mean, we've just come such a long way, and it's very stark. I remember my son who loves his phone and special effects, and he came to me and he said, you know, Dad, you got to see this. So at the time, he was working at MacArthur Airport and at a car rental place. And it was part of, like, him stepping out of the building. And all of a sudden, a chef's car came by and hit something and was, like, stuff all over the place. It looked so real. And I was like, holy mackerel, you know? And he goes, no, Dad, it's a special effects on my phone. I'm like, holy mackerel. So when we see these things, you know, when you watch a movie, you say, how could this possibly be? When we sit back and say how and question how would this possibly be, most times it's a special effects in some way that's taken us. But I want to ask you this morning, what if what we saw appeared to be special effects but was founded in reality? It was founded in reality. Like, you maybe could swear it was a special effects, but it actually was taking place in front of your eyes. Well, that's where I want to go with you this morning. I want to go back to the original followers of Christ and what they saw and how it was founded in reality. And that's what made it so amazing. Almost because you have to kick your hands up and wipe your eyes and go, am I really, really seeing this? For instance, Mary Magdalene, right? Mary Magdalene saw Christ suffer and die. Suffer and die. Yet, she was one of the first to have a graveside conversation with Jesus. Let's look at John 20:17. Okay. John 20:17. Jesus said to her in this conversation, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but I go to my brothers, and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. This was a conversation with someone that she literally saw beaten, tortured, flogged, laid down, and nailed to a cross. The effect of that, and now seeing him alive in front of her and having a conversation with him. Actually, she was startled. It was more of a monologue, right? I mean, you take a breath back and you go, am I really seeing? Am I really hearing? Is this real? But it was undeniably real. And she ran off to tell the others. Then when we look at the disciples, who every one of them witnessed some part of the atrocity, they took off, but they started to come back around gradually to see what was actually happening to their master. Right? And later on, he would appear to them in a closed room. Talk about special effects. One minute you're hanging out with one another, and Jesus is not there. But the next minute, to your amazement, he appears before you. Let's look at John, again, chapter 20, this time verse 19. On the evening of that day, that first day, the first day he rose, the first day of the week, the doors being locked were where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, of all things, peace be with you. Peace be with you. I think that might have been a challenge as their heart was going. And if that wasn't enough, he not only appeared to them once, but he made a return visit for the sake of someone called Thomas. John 20, verse 26. And 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Gone, but back. Dead, but now alive. And there's no mistaking it. There were no special effects. There were no special screens, smoke, or mirrors. This was the real deal. He who had died is now alive, and he's paying them a visit. And one of my favorite Easter stories is taking place on a road called the Road to Emmaus, where Jesus goes into depth in an extended conversation with a guy by the name of Cleopas and his traveling buddy. And he goes at great length, and it's recorded in Luke 24, verses 13 to 15. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. And he went a great distance. He spent so much time with them that the sun started to fall and drop in the sky. And Jesus made like he was going to go on further. And so being good men, they said, you know, probably in their minds, we can't let him go. You know, where's he going? It's getting late. It's getting dark. They invited him in. And it wasn't till he sat down, that we're talking about, could have been maybe a good hour that he dialogued with them. And not until he sat down and took bread, began to break it, where their eyes opened. And if that wasn't enough, as soon as they recognized him, he was gone. He's gone. Now, I just tempted to think, you think about a lot of the Bible stories that you and I can read, that we tell our children, right? Like Elijah and other prophets. Remember when Elijah challenged the prophets in the Bible, they had a challenge going on, and Elijah turned around and they were sacrificing to their gods and screaming and yelling and cutting their bodies, but Elijah simply just said, watch now. And he soaked the altar with water, and he put his offering on. Imagine the special effects that you could have in a movie if you were telling that story about fire coming down from heaven and consuming everything on that altar and licking it dry. This is the kind of special effects or literal effects that we are seeing here today in the lives of people. So like we have an opportunity today to go back and live it with them, live it through them. And they're more than stories. These are people's lives, their experiences. I want to tell you that that's much how much God works today, and we get to see him in our world, is when people who have a relationship with him go to the extent of sharing that relationship with others. And we actually have an opportunity to see Christ through one another. We actually get to hear the stories, just like we are reading stories, get to hear the stories of other people who have had this experience where in this day and age, in 2019, in some fashion, Christ was made real. They heard him. They see him. Many of us have countless stories. They are real. God is at work. Pastor John prayed it this morning before we opened our doors. prayed it again this morning from the pulpit. This is a risen Lord. Not just for then, not just for what is to come, because someday we will all breathe our breath, our last breath, and we will go into the presence of God. We will see Him. But it is for now to engage in the presence of God, to experience the power of the risen Lord here and now. The Apostle Paul was someone who got to have that experience afterwards. Because when Jesus was doing His thing, He was not on the right side of God's will. We know that Saul was an aggressive hater of the church. If he had his way, he would have destroyed it, ruined it, and leveled it, never to be heard from again. But God had other intentions. Listen to Paul's testimony from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 6 to 8. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 6 to 8. So Paul's talking, and he says, after that, he appeared to more than 500. More than 500 people. 500 of the brothers and sisters at that same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. In other words, some have already gone to be with the Lord. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, Paul says, also as one abnormally born. See, the vision that Paul had was not this physical person that he was able to touch and engage with, but he had an experience where Christ met with him and changed his life. And I want to say to you that the Christ that we worship today is a God who is able to change lives. Have something that you would like to see changed in your life? Maybe something that's been lingering for some time? He is able to change. Who once wore a crown of thorns, who is crowned with pain and suffering, is now crowned with glory, honor, and praise. This is the God that can make a difference in each of our lives. We, many of us, would not be where we are today if that same risen Lord didn't show up and begin to work in our lives and begin to change those lives. That is the message for Easter. In fact, I want to say to you, Easter is all about seeing Jesus. Resurrection Sunday, all about seeing Christ, the risen Lord, and helping others along the way to believe that regardless of what you might feel is not right in your life, what needs adjusting, what needs putting away, what needs to be done and over with that you don't want to carry anymore, He's a Lord that can make all the difference and change everything. Everything. Revelations 1:18 says this, I am the living one. This is Christ speaking. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and of the grave. If Christ holds the keys to death and the grave, do you think that there is anything that should be enabled to be take hold of our lives and imprison us? Something choking you? Something holding you back? Something preventing you from life, from faith in Him? He holds the keys to death and hell. Do you think anything is impossible for God? In fact, Jesus said nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. The Christ who was raised from the dead, who traded one crown for the other, is the same God that can make a difference in each of our lives. And all He's asking is for us to believe. Too simple? Maybe. But I think it's perfect. Why must it be so complicated? We live in a complex world. We say we want to simplify things, but we make it more complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. Simple faith in Christ is the beginning of life. Simply turning to Him and acknowledging Him and speaking to Him as I would speak to you and you would me is the beginning of life. There should be no reason for us to remain. Now, by the way, we all, if we're human, we all find ourselves in times where we feel bound, held down, hopeless, unable to live, falling into a repetitive lifestyle where we know there's something more, that there's something better to be had, but we just can't seem to arrive there. Maybe it's because we have bought into a widespread lie that our lives can't be changed. And that is a lie, by the way. No, you and I can't. The truth is, you and I can't change our lives, but there is one who can. The one who holds the keys to hell and the grave. The one who's made a promise, because I rise, you will too. Because I have life, you will too. And yes, he is able to change us. So this morning, this week, this month, the past year, have you felt trapped? Do you think, you know, I'm stuck because I was raised this way. I don't know how to break out. I don't know how to break free. I don't know how to shake it. Well, God does. And the answer is Christ. Scripture in Colossians says, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of new life, the hope of change, the hope of transition and what's that word I'm looking for? Thank you. Thank you. Nothing like a little help from the family. Yeah. The hope of all those things. See? Every time we gather, it's a reminder that we have a hope, that there is someone greater than ourselves who is able to do the things that we might desire but can't seem to obtain. The things that we would love to have but we cannot afford to purchase. He can, and he does. He does. Every time we gather here today, every time we gather in this place, every day you wake up, God is present. Just a matter of becoming aware of that presence. But he is risen, and he is alive and well, and he is able. And I want to say to you, he can change your life. Regardless of how long this thing has been with us, held us, hindered us, he is able. And I want to tell you, there can come a time when you look in the mirror and you'll wipe your eyes and you say, I can't believe my eyes. Because God can make that kind of change. God is able to do a great many things. Nothing is off limits to him. The thing is this, will we invite him in? Will we welcome him in? See, once we come to believe, he like the early disciples, can show up at any given time, appear to us at any moment. Once we make that commitment, for those of us who have yet to kind of cross that line, if I can say it that way, I often say, the Lord is a gentleman. He just wants to be invited in. So Scripture in Revelation says, I come to the door and I knock. Anyone who will open that door and invite me in, I will come in. And I will sit down and I'll hang out with you and I'll eat with you and I'll spend time with you. And we'll have time to get to know one another because he has risen. Right? He has risen? Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, help us to walk from this place today realizing what a great hope we have. Lord, there is much that you offer us. Whether we have yet to cross the line, whether we have done just a short time ago, or whether we have been in it for a great many years. Lord, you know us individually. You know exactly where we are, and you know how to meet us. You know how to appear to us. You know how to show up. You know how to touch those things that need your touch. This morning, Father, we invite you in Christ's name to come. Come to us today. Come to us this week, this month. Make this a year of change. Make this a time of transformation. Make this a moment in our lives that we can look back and say, it was on this day, Lord, that I have given you my heart again, or for the first time. But Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would visit us and that we would see you for who you truly are, the one who once wore a crown of thorns, but who is now crowned in glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go, go, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go, go. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Go, go, go. If you love my sheep, if you love me, really love me, feed my sheep. Lo, I'll be with you forever and ever until the end of the dismissed in the presence of the Lord. Go, make disciples, spread the good news, be filled with His Spirit. He loves you. Amen.